important to us. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Dear listeners, please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back to your program. It's Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Konstantin Lasgin from Russia, Dan Olsen from Sweden, and Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. So, Konstantin, Dan, and Hector, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us these reception reports. And of course, we have received so many emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. Here we have an email from Denis Kosolapkin from Russia. Thank you, Dennis. From India, we have an email from Motaram Kaga. Thank you. We have another email from one of our regular listeners, from Dan Olsen from Sweden. From Richard Cook from England, we have an email, one of our regular listeners. And last but not the least, is an email from Vikram Keshwala from the UK, one of our regular listeners. Many thanks for sending us these emails from around the world. So please, after a short break, we will be back with these emails and letters. So please keep us company until the end. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Denis Kosolapkin. Denis says, hello, Radio IRIB, voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Actually, IRIB English Radio. I am Denis and I live in Russia. I really like your country, Iran, with great people and ancient history. For me, it's amazing to see how different people with different religions are living in one place peacefully, without wars and violence. And I believe that this is a unique experience that you must share with other nations as well. Okay, and that's all from Denis Kosolapkin from Russia. So Denis, salam and warmest greetings to you. It's a pleasure to have you with us as a new listener. Thank you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So as you said, you love Iran. That's amazing. It seems that you know the ancient culture and history of Iran. It seems that you know Iran very well. So as an advice, to know more about Iran, please refer to Iranian sources like IRIB English Radio. So here in IRIB English Radio, we broadcast programs about Iran, One of them, which is about the tourist attractions of Iran, is Close Up Iran, which is broadcast on Mondays from IRIB English Radio. You can refer to Iranian sources, as I said, like IRIB English Radio. And that's great. As you said, different people with different religions, ethnicities, live in Iran peacefully, without wars or violence. And as you said, it's a unique point. It's a unique experience. Yes, in Iran, we have different religions, although the majority of Iranians are Muslims. We have Zoroastrians, we have Christians, Armenians, Christians, we have Jews. Yes, all people live in one place peacefully without wars or violence, and that's great. And for your information, all these religions have a representative in the parliament, in Iranian parliament, which is called Majlis, and that's good. So it seems you know a lot about Iran, and that's amazing. Denis Kosolapkin from Russia, many thanks for writing this great email to us. Please keep up the good work, write to us soon, and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And from India, as I said, we have an email from Mutaram Kaga. He or she says, "Hi, I am a new listener of Iran English Radio Language Service, or IRIB English Radio. I listen to your programs and visit your website time to time, and have to say that both of them are quite informative and interesting, radio and the website. But usually I only look at your news in the website. It's for 2 months that I'm listening to your programs. Please send me a QSL card. Thank you." So salam and warm greetings to you, Mutaram Kaga from India. And welcome to the world of IRIB English Radio. We are so happy to have you as a new listener of our radio. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region and in your country, India. We hope that this mutual relationship between you and us continue. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. In the time of pandemic, we sent you EQSL cards. So please keep up the good job. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Thank you again, Mutaram Kaga from India, for sending us this email. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So, dear listeners of Listeners Special, after a short break, I will be back with other emails, of course, from an email from Sweden. This email is from Dan Olson. Welcome back. Dan Olson, one of our regular listeners from Sweden, has sent us an email. Dan says, "Dear radio friends on IRIB, my name is Dan Olson and I am a Swedish radio listener. The 26th of September 2021, I had the pleasure to hear IRIB. I have enclosed an MP3 file, but apart from the program, I am 61 years old. And I work as a teacher for children between 6 to 9 years. My interests and hobbies are listening to the radio, sports, and collecting stamps. Best regards from Sweden." Salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, Dan Olson, one of our regular listeners from Sweden. Lots of gratitude to you for sending us this email. So we received your MP3 file, which is a part of the program of IRIB English Radio. So you had the chance to catch our programs, as you said, on September 26, 2021. And that's great. Please tell us your views about that program. Yes, I wish You wrote your opinion about that program. You listened anyway. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon, Dan Olsen from Sweden, and tell us your views about our programs. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. And from England, we have an email from Richard Cook. Richard Cook is one of our regular listeners who says, "Good evening, dear IRIB English radio staff. I hope you are well. Today, I was picking you up rather good in English on 9855 on my mini whip antenna at 1952 UTC, talking about Trump and Biden. Here in the UK, COVID slowly is calming down, but at the moment, we have gas suppliers shortage because of the lack of drivers. I hope to hear from you soon. Best regards from England." Salam, warm greetings to you, Richard Cook from England, and thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio. So you had the chance to pick up IRIB English Radio signals, and that's good. And the program's talking about Trump and Biden, maybe it was in the limelight. Yes, in the limelight is a program about political issues, and maybe you were listening to that program. So if the COVID is calming down in your country, it's great. It's COVID is also calming down in Iran because most of the people are vaccinated, and that's great. And about the issue you mentioned about the shortage of gas, I've heard about it in the news, of course. Yes, I have heard about gas shortage in England, in the UK, and I'm sorry for that. So Richard Cook, write to us soon and tell us about the news in your country. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you for writing this email to us. And after a short break, I will be back with another email from the UK. Welcome back, and Vikram Keshwala, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. He says, "Dear IRIB English radio staff, I could listen to your radio station today, and I'm writing to send you a reception report. I hope it will be of interest to you. Thank you so much for providing your program to the public and continue to broadcast on shortwave while other broadcasters are leaving it. If you issue QSL cards, I would very much like to receive one, if at all possible. I look forward to future programs, and I will gladly send in reception reports from time to time. That is all. Thanks again for your help and kindness, and I look forward to hearing from you soon." Salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, Vikram Keshwala. Many thanks for sending us this email. It's great to have you with us. And it's great to hear that you, Vikram Keshwala, like many of our dear listeners from around the world, prefer listening to shortwave radio, traditional radio. It's good to hear your attitude toward this issue, because many of us like this way of broadcasting, shortwave radio, and that's great to hear your attitude toward this issue. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, because sending paper QSL cards is not possible at the time of pandemic. So Vikram, please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Thank you for your commitment and kindness toward IRIB English Radio. And dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the next section of Listeners Special, which is this week's interview. And this week's interview is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
Thank you for having me on the program. Yes, I try to tune into IRIB English program as often as possible on different technical media like satellite, shortwave, but also I listen to IRIB English on the internet. And I think IRIB English is doing a fantastic job because it's really hard to find news about Iran in the West, which is correct. I mean, Iran is a lot in the news in the West, in the Western media, but unfortunately, it's always a very colored view, a very one-sided view. And IRIB is proposing the news like it is the truth about Iran. I mean, IRIB is giving the Iranian point of view, and it gives a total other perception about the news than what you hear here in the Western media, which is always about, I'll give you one example about the nuclear file. As a matter of fact, the nuclear file in Iran is going about civilian nuclear energy, peaceful nuclear energy, and here in the West, they always bring the nuclear file of Iran as, you know, nuclear weapons, about aggressive policies, which is not at all true. So I listen to IRIB English to hear the truth about Iran. Yes, I call upon all listeners of IRIB English, please do like, as I did, visit Iran. Because if you want to know Iran, of course you can tune into IRIB English, but also it's really important that you visit the country yourself to experience the friendliness of the people, the beauty of the country, the rich culture and the rich history of Iran. So please visit Iran. It's very easy to visit. I mean, the infrastructure is good, the roads, the public transport, the hotel infrastructure. So it's really easy to visit the country and to have a look yourself.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with us and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Allah has not taken any son, nor has there ever been with him any deity. If there had been, then each deity would have taken what it created, and some of them would have sought to overcome others. Exalted is Allah above what they describe concerning him. He is knower of the unseen and the witnessed, so high is he above what they associate with him.
As you have been previously with us, dear listeners, we were talking about the 91st verse of the chapter. مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهٍ. No son has Allah begot, nor there are any gods along with him. Then, لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقٍ. Otherwise, each god would have certainly taken off that which he had created, وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, and some of them would certainly have risen up over the others. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. Glorified be Allah above what they describe. And the 92nd verse says, عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. He is the knower of the unseen and the visible. فَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. So exalted be he above what they ascribe as partners unto him. Over the previous programs, we concluded that this verse is suggesting having belief in any kind of offspring for Almighty Allah is forbidden, whether be it Jesus or the angels or others. And these verses are trying to answer the deviant arguments of the polytheists. And this verse was criticizing the ideological base of polytheism and was stating some of the deviations of the polytheists, of course, with their responses. Of course, if there were more than one gods in the universe, consequently, different parts of the universe would end up being managed under different laws, and this would have given rise to chaos and disorder in the universe. But on the other hand, we can see that we are discerning a unified system of laws governing the world of existence. This on one side, and on the other side, since numerous gods means that they are not perfect in their limitations of their sovereignty, we should suppose that they are seeking governing over other territories and other areas to perfect themselves. And this means that they are not perfect, they are imperfect, and they cannot be gods.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
Now, the next verse implies that he does not know any gods that the unbelievers claim. For it says, "He is the knower of the unseen and the visible. Allah knows all the things that exist both in the visible and invisible worlds." So, it is impossible for these unbelievers to know about the existence of another God unknown to the Creator, to the Absolute Cause. Brothers and sisters, it seems that the content of this verse is similar to the 18th verse of chapter Yunus, where the Almighty Allah says, قُلْ أَتُنَبِّئُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Say, will you inform Allah of what He does not know, either in the heavens or in the earth? And finally, it reduces the superstitious imaginations of the polytheists to nothing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. So, exalted be He above what they ascribe as partners unto Him. And similarly, at the end of this verse, it is just like the verse 18 of Surah Yunus, and at the end of the verse it says, "Alimil ghaybi wa shahada, fata'ala amma yushrikun." He is the knower of the unseen and the visible, so exalted be He, fata'ala amma yushrikun, above what they ascribe as partners unto Him. So it shows that both of the verses follow the same subject. This sentence also threatens the polytheists, because it means that Almighty Allah is aware of both their hidden and manifest secrets. He knows these arguments very well and will judge and punish them in His court when the time comes. Concerning the phrase عَلِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ, the knower of the unseen and the visible, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, "What has not taken place is the unseen, and what has taken place is the visible." Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Allah, 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 Allah.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند این ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Dear brothers and sisters, you are listening to The Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to a short part of the book Sirru Salat, The Secret of Prayer, written by Imam Khomeini. The Qiyam and the recitation is the agent Tawheed. Iyaka Na'budu is the returning of the servant to Allah toward the absolute annihilation. Because for each recitation and prostration and genuflection, there is a stage. Thus, Qiyam to the stage of agent Tawheed has been related, though it possesses the essential Tawheed and the attribute internally. And this the same words as the mystic utter about the names, attributes, verbs, and essence, though they consider each name as a collective comprehensive name in which the manifestation of the name is appeared. And the manifestation of the attribute and essential would be therein. And the same in namely attribute and the essential one.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you are listening to Spring of Truth coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So stay tuned with us. I am your host, Abdullah Al-Musawi, an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qom. We are looking at Imam Khomeini's point of view when it comes to Ashura. Imam Khomeini was quoted saying, "If people could truly understand and make it understood by others what all this is about, the lamentation, the mournings, and the eulogies, and why such high divine reward for a drop of tear shed for Imam Hussein, they would not call us the weeping nation. Rather, they would call us the nation of epic action." Imam Hussein, he himself said, "I only made this revolution to seek reform." So through these cries, through these gatherings, through these mournings, we are trying to create reform. And we did. And first of which, Imam Khomeini, he himself, he created this massive revolution, toppled the government, changed an entire world. Not just that, but the whole world is facing it. The whole world, they are just powerless to do anything against it. They are powerless to stop it. And why is that? Because they are crying for Imam al-Hussein.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
Oh. If it was just a matter of logic, you can just read a book and stay at home. You can just, I don't know, read the Quran and stay at home. But the idea is that we come every year. Not only should we listen to the lecture, not only should we just learn, but we need to lament and cry and beat our chest and have these things and make them continue and live. At the time of the Imams, alayhim as-salam, when they were living under oppressive rulers, they couldn't do much. They couldn't preach and lecture. But they instructed their fellows to sit and cry for Imam Hussein. That's it, just cry. Read a eulogy, beat your chest, cry for Imam Hussein, and keep it going. Keep that emotion flowing. Throughout this lamentation and this flowing of emotions, we got to have all these that we have today. All these lecturers, all these scholars standing on the pulpits. It's because of this crying. So don't just listen and go. Participate. Take a share in making sure that this continues to generations to come.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Australia, the United Kingdom, and United States have formed a new military alliance called AUKUS. As part of this alliance, Australia will receive new missiles and a fleet of nuclear submarines built by the US and UK. Meanwhile, the United States will increase its military presence and operational capability in the region. This pact has angered France, who lost out on a contract to originally build diesel submarines for Australia. It's also been condemned by China, which views this increased militarization and buildup of foreign troops in its region as a threat. So what exactly is AUKUS? Is it really about promoting regional peace and stability in the Indo-Pacific, or part of a larger power struggle seeking to provoke China and project Western influence? I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique. On September 15th, the Prime Ministers of Australia and the United Kingdom, Scott Morrison and Boris Johnson, along with the President of the United States, Joe Biden, issued a joint statement announcing a new military partnership between their three countries, called AUKUS. As part of this trilateral agreement, Australia would receive a fleet of nuclear-powered submarines. These would be built at Adelaide in South Australia with the help of the UK and the US. Australia confirmed that it would also be acquiring Tomahawk cruise missiles and joint air-to-surface standoff missiles from the US. In exchange, the United States will expand its already giant military footprint in Australia. The United States and Australia already have very close ties, being two of the Five Eyes members, along with the UK, Canada, and New Zealand. The US already has several military bases and around 2,500 Marines on permanent rotation in Australia. In addition to its own bases, the Asia Pacific Journal writes that, quote, "The US military has access to all major Australian Defence Forces training areas, Northern Australian Royal Air Force airfields, port facilities in Darwin and Fremantle." With AUKUS, those numbers would increase, as would the types of ordnances, as Peter Dutton, the Australian Defence Minister, confirmed. During a press conference, he went on to say that Australia and the United States will be significantly enhancing our force posture cooperation, increasing interoperability, and deepening alliance activities in the Indo-Pacific. This will include greater air cooperation through rotational deployments of all types of U.S. military aircraft to Australia. Now, while this agreement has been marketed as a defense pact, there are many who feel that Australia is giving much more than it's receiving, conceding much of its territorial, political, and military sovereignty to the United States. And nothing could be more emblematic of Australia's subservience to the United States than Joe Biden forgetting the Australian Prime Minister's name, Scott Morrison, during the unveiling of AUKUS.
Thank you, Boris, and I want to thank
that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal.
Besides not being able to say the name of the Australian Prime Minister, neither Biden nor Johnson and Morrison actually mentioned China by name. If you go and watch their full speeches, you'll only hear them say the Indo-Pacific.
The Indo-Pacific.
The Indo-Pacific.
You all recognize the imperative of ensuring peace and stability in the Indo-Pacific over the long term.
It's no secret that this entire thing is aimed at China. This is China's region, after all, and the West has been fear-mongering about them for years. Reacting to AUKUS, the spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry, Li Jianzhao, said that, quote, this severely undermines regional peace stability, intensifies arms race, and undercuts international non-proliferation efforts. It's highly irresponsible and shows double standards on using nuclear export for geopolitical games. So why China? What has China done that is so bad that these three countries are trying to gang up against it? Well, I think this clip from CNN might have some of the answers.
The trade routes that we use on the open seas need to be protected in the U.S., and Australian, and U.K. view. They need to be protected by our collective forces in order to make sure that no other navy can interfere with the trade routes as they exist right now. So that means any oil, for example, that comes from the Middle East, any raw materials that come from Africa, things that China depends on a great deal.
But have they been doing that? Have the Chinese been stopping those trade routes?
Not yet. But the fear is that they could.
Well, there you go. You heard it straight from the horse's mouth. The colonel here is plainly saying China hasn't done anything. And more importantly, he's telling you the real reason behind all this. It's all about economic interests. It's about controlling shipping lanes, trade routes, oil and other natural resources near China. Which again, remember, China is the world's largest manufacturing country. And when they talk about countering China, this phrase, they use it all the time, but what does it mean? Why does China need to be countered? America has tons of military bases already surrounding China, not the other way around. And what is the United Kingdom doing on the other side of the planet? Do you know that China is Australia's largest trading partner? Why should Australia sour relations with them at the behest of the US? What, to satisfy America's foreign policy goals? Perhaps this is more to do with the West feeling nervous that China has a stronger, faster-growing economic model. China is on track to overtake the US and become the world's largest economy. China has the Belt and Road Initiative, a modern revival of Silk Road trade route. It just recently integrated Iran into it, among many other countries. China doesn't go around bombing other places to steal their resources. China has lifted millions of its own citizens out of poverty. It has a different mindset, a different social and economic system from the US. And Australia seems to be losing its sovereignty and essentially becoming a giant airbase for the Americans. Australia says it's non-nuclear, but will the United States respect that? Who's to say they won't keep nuclear missiles on Australian soil in secret? Does the US view Australia as expendable, perhaps just as a vassal state that it can exploit for its imperialist ambitions in a potential confrontation with China? To find out more, I thought I'd ask Dr. Alan Patience. He's an honorary principal fellow in the School of Social and Political Sciences at the University of Melbourne. He's taught political and Asian studies at universities in Australia and Japan, and has occupied visiting professorships in China, Taiwan, Burma, and Papua New Guinea. His work focuses on Australian foreign policy. Dr. Alan Patience, thanks so much for joining me today. It's great to have you on.
My pleasure.
Professor, you recently wrote that Australia is repeating certain foreign policy and defense mistakes from the last century. I was hoping if you could maybe elaborate on those mistakes for us.
Okay. Well, I was referring in that case to the 1919 peace conference in Paris after World War I. The Australian representative was our Prime Minister at the time, Mr. Billy Hughes, who was one of the leading architects of what was called the White Australia policy. He was an out-and-out racist and particularly disliked Asian people. The Japanese, of course, were represented at the peace conference in a quite significant delegation. They made some proposals that upset the Australian Prime Minister. The first proposal was that, all German territories in the Pacific should be encouraged and helped by Australia and Japan together towards independence, to end colonialism, German colonialism. And the second proposal that the Japanese made was that the new charter for the League of Nations that was being formed at much the same time should have an anti-racist clause in its charter. Now, Billy Hughes was absolutely horrified at these two suggestions. He opposed them bitterly. He was extremely rude in the conference proceedings. He used to put his foot up on the table and shout and just gesticulate, particularly at the Japanese, telling them off. And as a result, the Japanese, first of all, were humiliated at that conference. Eventually, they withdrew from the League of Nations. And certainly, that was a contribution to the enmity that was created between Japan and Australia in World War II in the Pacific Theatre. And what I was trying to suggest is that Scott Morrison, our present Prime Minister, is doing exactly the same thing. He's now being very rude about China in a number of international forums and provoking China's hostility. So I think history is repeating itself.
When it comes to Australia and what Australia has to gain from all this, these nuclear submarines, it's said they won't be arriving anytime soon. As a matter of fact, we've heard the year 2040 being floated around. So if Australia has to wait two decades for these submarines, what exactly are America and the UK gaining in the meantime from this partnership with Australia, especially in terms of being able to use Australian territory and soil?
First of all, I think it's important to note that there is no submarine at the moment. All there is a promise that nuclear power will be made available for whatever submarine is chosen in a time frame of the next 18 months. So it's still a fantasy. It's not a reality at all. But what will the Americans achieve? Well, for a long time now, Australia's military capacity, defence capacity, has been, and I've got to use an awful official word here, interoperable with the United States military. That is to say, we are really just a very small part of the US military and defense arrangements in the Asia-Pacific region. This now consolidates that relationship as far as the Americans are concerned. There's been some talk emerging in Australia, particularly during the time of Trump's presidency, that maybe we can't rely on America any longer. And that's a feeling that's been growing. And the Americans want to counter this. And they've come in now with this proposal. And at the same time, and by the way, the concerns about America's reliability, we've had one former prime minister, for example, saying that it's time to rip up the alliance with the United States. And that would mean, amongst other things, kicking Pine Gap, which is a huge American a spy base in the middle of Australia that's been spying on China and other East and Southeast Asian countries, getting rid of that, for example, and that would really remove a major part of the US's intelligence capacity, gathering capacity in this region. So America is in pushing us into this arrangement, if you like, is consolidating its grip on Australia's sovereignty very strongly. As far as the British are concerned, I think it's just empire nostalgia. They still think of Australia as a colony, and in many respects we still are a colonial mindset. And yes, it's, for the British, they might get one of their submarines selected, but it's very unlikely. I'm sure it'll be an American submarine.
You mentioned Australian sovereignty. What does AUKUS entail exactly for Australia's sovereignty? How does it get out of this colonial mindset?
I think it's important to note that in international politics, international relations, Australia styles itself as a middle power, a so-called middle power. I've argued elsewhere that there are different kinds of middle powers, but the kind of middle power that Australia is as a dependent middle power. Its claims to have a kind of middle power status are entirely reliant on its alliances with big powers, and in this case, the United States. So already, as a dependent middle power, Australia's sovereignty has been severely constrained. As the former Prime Minister that I was referring to earlier, Malcolm Fraser, he was a Conservative Prime Minister, by the way, who's saying, let's get rid of the American alliance. And he was saying, look, Australia has very little sovereignty. And AUKUS, as they call this new strange arrangement, is yet further evidence that we are very lacking in sovereignty, that we will do, but we'll always do as we're told. And that's evident, for example, in that Australia has been into every single war that the United States has had since the end of World War II, well, during World War II as well. We've been into every single war, the Korea Peninsula War, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, and so on. It's quite extraordinary. In many respects, we're a very warmongering country, but very keen to be with America in its wars.
Dr. Alan Patience, thank you so much for your time, Professor. Really a pleasure speaking with you and having you on.
Communique is a program in which Richard Medhurst, the independent journalist and political commentator, gives his views of controversial issues of our time and interviews famous politicians and personalities. This program is broadcast every Sunday by IRIB English Radio.
AUKUS has caused a real diplomatic row with the French. France is actually very upset with all this, not because Western imperialists are antagonizing China, but because they didn't get the contracts and the money to help do it. France had a deal worth 90 billion Australian dollars to build diesel power submarines for Australia. Without informing the French, Scott Morrison just went and ripped up the contract and entered Australia into this new alliance instead with the US and the UK. I guess he figured that American nuclear-powered submarines would be much better. And France, of course, considers this to be a real stab in the back and is so angry it pulled out of a planned ceremony with the US commemorating the 240th anniversary of the Battle of Cape. French President Emmanuel Macron said that it's important for Europe to stop being naive and assert its independence from the United States. The French are so outraged that the defense minister pulled out of talks with the UK. And in an unprecedented move, France even recalled its ambassadors to Australia and the US. To gain further insight into this diplomatic row, joining me is Bruce Haig, an Australian political commentator, author, and former diplomat. He served in several countries, first in South Africa, where he made friends with anti-apartheid activists and even helped some of them escape the country. He also served in Afghanistan, Iran, Indonesia, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Sri Lanka. Bruce, it's great to have you on. Welcome to the communique.
Thank you. Pleasure.
So, Bruce, when we speak about the relationship that Australia has with France, how does AUKUS and the diplomatic fallout that's resulted from it impact the relationship?
Richard, that's a good question because the French are quite influential, as you know, in Europe. Britain's out of it, much to everybody's delight, I would hope, and think. But in its present form, I mean, Britain is still hasn't had the social revolution that it needs. It's still a hugely unequal society and racist to boot. But so France has got a considerable influence in Europe, and it will bring that influence to bear. Merkel's about to go. We don't know who will replace her, but whoever replaces her will not have the experience that Merkel had. So Macron is now a senior statesperson in Europe, and he's really angry. So I can't imagine that the trade deal that was in being drawn up will happen. It'll be pushed to one side, and it won't be revived, I don't think, until Morrison's government has been voted out of office in Australia.
So we know that they didn't tell the French about their plans to rip up this deal. Could you maybe tell us about who else was left in the dark in terms of the Australian government, the Australian Defence Forces? Because there were also other people in Australia who didn't know about this. Is that correct?
Yes, that's, certainly it seems that way. It would seem that this is a deal that's been done between people in the United States or people around Biden and Morrison and some of his staff members, but it seems, and maybe it includes Dutton, who's the Minister for Defence, but it seems it didn't include the Department of Defence because they wrote a letter to the French, which the French received on the same day that the Australians broke the contract. So, to me, officials within our Department of Defense were not in the loop. They don't know the cost. I mean, when you're spending 85 to 100 billion of taxpayers' money on an item like as large as this, you would normally go out to contract and say, look, and you'd, the lead-in time with the French would be over a period of 6 months or a year of saying, look, we're going to have to break this contract and discuss the terms of breaking the contract and all those sorts of things so that you didn't upset the French. So the submarine deal, they're saying we wouldn't get the submarines until 2040 at the earliest and maybe 2050, which to me means that the submarine deal isn't a real deal at all. It's a smokescreen in order to get the United States into Australia and get their nuclear submarines based in Fremantle at the Garden Island and in the Northern Territory, perhaps build another port, get their stealth bombers and B-52s permanently based in Tyndall Air Force Base in the north, and maybe build some other bases in Northern Australia.
So what are the motivations behind AUKUS? Why this pact at this point in time with these three countries?
The Americans are getting increasingly worried about, they've got themselves into a mindset, they're paranoid, they're feeding off their own hysteria about China. So they've got themselves into a mindset that they need to act very, very quickly. And so they came up with this idea of gazumping the French and their submarine deal, pushing the French out of, or marginalizing the French in the Pacific, giving the primary role to the US. Johnson's just a hanger-on in all of this. He's trying to get some British glory day back after the mess up of Brexit, and it's a complete mess. So Johnson's a hanger-on, and America is now happy enough to have Johnson hanging on, but wants Australia as a base for its naval assets and for army. I don't know what they're going to use the army for, to occupy the islands in the South China Sea. But, I mean, they just want a presence in Australia, an increased military presence. And that increased military presence will give them control over the Australian, a greater control over the Australian political process. So AUKUS is really about the Americans wanting to use Australia, as they did in the Second World War, as a kind of a large aircraft carrier, and give some legitimacy to what they're on about, which is confronting China because of their fear of China's rivalry.
So when we talk about trade, Australia's largest trading partner is China. How does this whole situation affect the relationship with the Chinese? This has always seemed odd to me. You know, Australia needs China, and yet we have this behavior from the United States pushing Australia into confrontation. So how does this affect the relationship with China? What's the Chinese response been? And what's the response been from the other countries and territories in the Indo-Pacific to this pact?
Well, in Southeast Asia, other countries are not at all happy. They haven't expressed themselves forcefully in public, but behind the scenes, they're very angry and concerned. China, of course, is... they won't deal with Morrison, and they won't deal with his government. Morrison doesn't have any life experience. He is unable to process these sorts of relationships. He hasn't got a clue. China is now being referred to by within circles in Australia, certainly by the Americans, but we've picked up. They're the enemy. So, you know, we're referring to our major trading partner as the enemy. I don't even begin to understand the logic of that. From Australia's point of view, China's not going anywhere and neither are we. As much as we'd like to sit offshore from America, it's not going to happen. We're firmly grounded here at the bottom of Asia.